Going to do is I'm going to pick up the introduction that I gave to you last week. I never did get through the introduction, and this looks like this introduction may be a six-part series. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is a passage we're using for a new series of messages that we're bringing called Disciplined for Success. Disciplined for Success. We hear that word disciplined and sometimes we think it's a four-letter word, but it's the key. It really is the key to success in just about every area of our lives. And we're going to find out today that we have the help of the Holy Spirit to help us reach that place of being a disciplined believer. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 to start this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Make the decision. You're going to run the race, and you're not just, you don't want to be just one of the crowd. You want to be the winner in the race that you're winning, the race that you're running. "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, discipline in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim." In other words, it's not just scattergun, hit or miss. There's a purpose behind what I'm doing and the way that I'm doing it. "Run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." And Lord, we pray today that you would help each one of us to be so self-disciplined, Father, that we would run this race of life and we would win it for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. So we're talking about a new message, a new series of messages that we've called Disciplined for Success. And last week we shared with you several different areas, places in life where we find that the key to succeeding in those areas of life is learning how to be disciplined. We talked about, for example, losing weight. In order to lose weight, you have to practice certain disciplines. You can't just lay around and eat chips and drink soda and wish for your weight to go away and succeed. Too many times that's our approach and we never get to where we want to go, okay? We read from Proverbs 13, I believe it's Proverbs 13 verse 4, that said the sluggard or the lazy person craves, but the diligent is rewarded. The sluggard, the one who just lays around in hopes and wishes and dreams, you know, they crave, but they never get anywhere. But the person who applies themselves, who is diligent, who will allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring their self under control, that's the person that's going to be rewarded. So, losing weight, finances, living in financial freedom, living in a debt-free situation. You're not going to get there if you're constantly using your credit card to impulse buy, if you're the kind of person that always has to have the latest, the greatest, the biggest, the baddest, the newest, and all this kind of stuff, whether you can afford it or not, at least you've got a credit card, right? So you can have it. And you're never going to be that. Remember when our kids were little, kids wanted something, and we told him, we just can't afford it. And he said, "Well, can't you just write a check? You know, because that's the way the world works, right? You don't have to have money, just as long as you got a check. You just write a check." No, you got to have money to back that thing up. But you have to practice certain disciplines. You have to learn to make sacrifices. You have to learn, here's one, you have to learn to distinguish between your wants and your needs. That's a thing that we have really struggled with in our society today, where we are tremendously blessed. We think a lot of times that things that we want, we think we really need them. I mean, if you know, you need two things. You need to breathe, you need to eat. Everything else is negotiable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not, we think of so many things as absolute necessity, and they're really not. And we need to learn some discipline where our finances are concerned. And if we can, as I shared before, most people, financial problems are not about income, it's about outgo. And if we learn how to be disciplined, we can often get ourselves out of those financial difficulties and find ourselves in financial freedom. And brother, I just say there's just no place like that. Having people calling you and hassling you and all this kind of stuff. So we talked about finances. We talked about losing weight. We talked about marriage. In order to have a good marriage, there are certain disciplines you've got to practice. Nagging isn't one of them. You're not going to nag your way into a good marriage relationship. It's just not going to happen. And we can gripe and we can complain and we can nag and we can do all these things and wish our marriage was better. But our marriage isn't going to be better until we start practicing some disciplines in marriage relationships. Disciplines like total forgiveness, like unconditional love. Now, I don't think we yet know what that word unconditional means. Because unconditional means no conditions. Hear me, brother and sister. I will if she will is a condition. Okay? I will if he will. No, that's a condition. That's not unconditional love. So, yeah, unconditional love, total forgiveness. Paul is talking about sports in the passages of scripture that we read here. And he's talking about how those who win are the people who are disciplined and who practice and who give themselves to the talent that God has given them, and they train and they practice and they work out and they take care of themselves and they practice the disciplines to be successful where they are. And you know, the thing of it is, you and I don't see all of that. We watch the Olympics, okay? And we watch the guys on the, one of my favorite Olympic sports is the ski jump thing, you know? Those guys go flying and they just go sailing off into the air. Man, look at that guy. I would be that other guy. Remember they used to have that, the agony of defeat, the guy that came down there that fell off the side of it and rolled out? That would be me if I tried to do that. Because I haven't practiced, you see. I haven't tried. I haven't gone at them. But these guys, they can do that. Or the skater. We see the 2 minutes on the ice skate, and it's so beautiful. Or the 10-second sprint. We see that. And what we don't see is the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years of training and practicing and being disciplined it took to make that 10-second run. See, we don't see all of that. But it was the discipline that caused them to succeed. They applied themselves and exercised the gifts and the talents that God had given to them. And oh, by the way, notice that Paul says in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to get to the spiritual side, because the spiritual side, the principles are the same. The spiritual side, the principles are the same. We see people, we read about people in the Bible who saw miracles or heard answers to prayer. We are people today who talk about, you know, hearing the voice of God and hearing answers to prayer and seeing God move in special ways. And we look at people who see God do certain things, and what we don't see is the hours of spiritual discipline that it took those people to get into that place where they were sensitive enough to the voice of the Spirit of God to know what God wanted and to be where God wanted to be and all these kinds of things. We have to practice disciplines if we're going to be strong in the Lord. And Paul tells us in this passage of Scripture, one of the things he says there is that our flesh is not going to like it. Our flesh doesn't like to be disciplined. Our flesh likes the sugar and the chips and the soda and all that kind of stuff. The stuff that's killing us. Our flesh loves us, but our flesh doesn't like the discipline. It doesn't like the exercise and the diet and all of these kinds of things. And so Paul says in verse 27, he says, I discipline my body. I think it's the Amplified. It says, I buffet my body. I make myself do what flesh doesn't want to do. Okay? I see people living their lives today and they're just doing whatever they want to do. And they're just claim, well, I'm just doing what the Spirit's leading me to do. No, you're not. You're doing what your flesh wants to do. That's not the Holy Spirit. Learn the difference. There's a vast difference between the two. And we have to discipline our flesh. We have to make our flesh obey. This is what Paul is telling us in this passage of Scripture. We have to buffet our bodies, discipline our flesh, because flesh is resistant to the things of God. And oh, by the way, let me just share. Look over real quickly with me at the book of Galatians chapter 5. Here's what I want you to see here today. When I'm talking about disciplining ourselves, we are not alone in disciplining ourselves. This is not, I'm not talking about willpower, okay? That's my point. This is not something that we do by sheer willpower, you know, suck it up and gut it out. That's not what we're talking about here. In Galatians chapter 5, while I'm finding that, let me just remind you that Peter tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us everything we need by the promises that he's made and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. We have it. It's within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And look at Galatians chapter 5 with me and verse 22. Galatians 5:22. Paul writes to the churches of the region of Galatia, says, the fruit of the Spirit, watch this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let me just stop right there for just a minute. We've probably all heard good sermons on all of those things. Joy and peace and love and faithfulness and all of those things. These are all attributes of the Holy Spirit that he imparts to us. But look at verse 23. Gentleness, another good one. But watch this last one. Self-control. Self-control, brother and sister, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of God can help us get self under control so that we don't have to live by that old man anymore. When Paul says lay him down, we can lay him down. When Paul says take him off, we can take him off. And we can put on a new man. And we can find self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to trust in the Holy Spirit to help us with these things. Now last week, we talked about several things. Four disciplines. We identified four disciplines. These are not new. I'm hoping that maybe we can shed some new light on these things, on these disciplines that you and I can exercise, spiritually speaking, that can help us be successful in a spiritual way, that can help us be strong in the Lord, that can help us experience the favor of the Lord, the joy, the peace, all of these other things that we desire. If we will practice disciplines, we can commune with the Lord in such a way that these things become reality. Experiential, not theoretical, not just something we read about or hear about from somebody else, but something that we can tell other people that we have experienced because we've drawn near to the Lord and we've seen God do some exceptional things in our own heart and in our own life. Things that will cause us to be deeper in our relationship with the Lord, have a greater revelation of the truth of the Lord, things that will help us, listen, things that will help us tune into the voice of the Spirit of God. Many Christians will say, well, I've never heard from God. I don't know how to hear the voice of God. Now, let me just tell you, I'm sharing this in a moment, but if you're not a student of the Word of God, it's likely you're not hearing accurately the voice of the Spirit of God. Because, brother and sister, that Bible you've got in your lap, that, listen, let me just say it this way. That Bible is a lap full of the voice of God. That Bible is the Word of God. And so that Bible is, you've got a lap full of the voice of God right there. So when you learn what this book says, then you learn how to how to discern when you're really hearing the Holy Spirit, when he speaks to you or not. And by the way, that's another thing before introduction really is going to take another week. The key to these four things being energized in your life, in my life, and in our walk, the key to the energy of these things being real in us is the person of the Holy Spirit, okay? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that we've been doing church wrong. We've been reading our Bibles wrong. We've been doing a lot of things wrong because we haven't been doing them in communion with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm reading a wonderful book. I started it yesterday. I got nearly halfway through it. Don't know how many of you know a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. Tozer's a theologian from a previous century. And this is a man, it's awesome. He is such a deep spiritual thinker. This is a man who never completed more than the eighth grade of school. And yet Christianity acknowledges that this man is a scholar, he's a theologian in the depth of his spirituality. And he's written a book I'm reading. It's called Alive in the Spirit. He wrote a couple of classics about searching for God. He wrote The Knowledge of the Holy. He wrote The Pursuit of God. These are classics that this man wrote. And this new one that I'm reading, this man actually passed away in 1963. And the book that I'm reading is a collection of sermons that he wrote about the Holy Spirit. And he writes a chapter, one particular chapter I read yesterday. He prophesied the church that we live in today. A church that, for the most part, ignores the Holy Spirit and relies on entertainment and the talents of people to bring people into the church house. This man's been dead for over 50 years. These sermons are back from the 50s, and he's prophesying what we see in the church today. Not sure how I got off on Tozer. Energized by the Holy Spirit. This is a man whose life is just energized by the Spirit of God. And again, he doesn't have theological training. You know, he doesn't have education. He doesn't have seminary. He doesn't have any of that. But he has the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, if you read his books, I promise you, your heart will be stirred and moved toward God. It's just incredible. It's incredible. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to energize these things. And let me just give them to you again quickly. My time's almost gone. Four basic disciplines that if we'll practice them, please hear it this way. These are disciplines that if we practice them will cause us to be successful in our Christian journey. Again, success is not about money. Success is about faithfulness. Success is about accomplishing what God put you here to accomplish. Success is about doing what God called you to do, unique to your calling in your life. Doesn't matter what he called anybody else to do. It's about what he called you to do. And if you'll just do what he tells you to do, brother and sister, doesn't matter what it is, if you'll just do what he tells you to do, you will be a success in the eyes of God, whether anybody else thinks so or not. And quite frankly, what anybody else thinks is irrelevant. It only matters. Do you understand that there is a day when we're going to stand before God? And you know what? When I stand before God, none of you are going to be sitting on that throne. And the only opinion that's going to matter is the opinion of the one who does sit there. And nobody else's is going to matter. So why do we spend so much of our time and energy in this lifetime trying to impress people whose opinions don't matter now and certainly won't matter for eternity? We should be living for one. We should be living for one. These are not laws. I'm not telling you you have to do these things because you don't. But I'm telling you these are spiritual principles that if we'll practice these things, will change and transform our lives, draw us closer to God, make us sensitive to his voice, fill our hearts with faith, help us to be deeper in love, and ultimately be successful in the things that God's called us to do. First one, we'll talk about it briefly in a moment. First one is to meditate the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God. It's important to read the Bible. But we need to learn how to meditate on the Word of God and really feed our soul on the Word of God. Meditate, not memorize, meditate. The second one is worship. Worship. Corporate worship, private worship, worship as a way of life. This too needs to be energized by the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you something? We'll talk about it next week. But if you came here this morning and you sang some songs on the screen there this morning, did you know you maybe didn't even worship? You sang. Well, frankly, it sounded pretty good. But you may not have been worshiping. May not have been worshiping God. It's all about the heart. It's all about the energy of the Holy Spirit that He brings to your life. Corporate worship, private worship, we'll talk about those things. Prayer. Prayer as communion with the Lord. Prayer is just so much more than just asking for stuff. Prayer is about getting to know God and communing with the Lord. And then the fourth one, the one we all love the most, fasting. Fasting. It's a discipline that we've lost in the church today. It's hard to fast when there's a McDonald's on every corner. But fasting is a discipline we need to rediscover as Christians, because it's something that can help us if we will learn to make spiritual things priority over natural things. Fasting is doing exactly that. Fasting is taking the thing that we think is the most important in this natural world, maybe it's eating, and laying it aside in order to feed ourselves spiritually through communion with God. And being focused on the Lord in that way. Let me talk for just a few moments, and we don't have a lot of time here, but let me just talk for just a few moments about meditating the Word of God. Let's talk about this first one this morning. If you look with me at the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, let's talk about meditating the Word of God. And again, this is so much deeper than just reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is important. But what happens is when we just read the Bible, sometimes it becomes a religious exercise for us. Sometimes it becomes an obligation to us. And then when we can't keep the obligation, we feel condemned because we couldn't. And all of that's just religious activity. It's just religious activity. I'm talking about something beyond that. I'm talking about learning to meditate on the Word of God, so that the Word actually feeds your soul and becomes a part of who you are. Let me just read these verses quickly from Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist talks about the man who will meditate on the Word of God. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Just got to stop right there and say that the psalmist lets us know that it's important what we give our attention to. Okay? It is important what we're feeding into our hearts and minds. The things that we're listening to are the things that are going into our hearts and minds. And it's important that we're careful. If it's important that we have a healthy diet naturally, it's important that we have a healthy diet spiritually. And we eat a whole lot of spiritual poison in our society these days. And we're rotting our spiritual man as a result. But notice what he says in verse 2. He says, the man that is truly blessed is the man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. The Word of God to the people in those days was the law. The law of Moses, the first five books, and then the writings of history and the prophets. And that all became known as the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. Day and night. Guys, we know physically we need to eat 2, 3, 4 times a day. Why do we think we have to eat a few times a day to be strong physically? But as long as we eat once a week, we'll be strong spiritually. Oh, it's not going to happen. We have to feed ourselves spiritually, night and that he meditates the word night and day. Look at the result. Here's the key. This is why he delights in it, because he knows he's going to profit from it. Okay? He knows when he meditates that word, it's going to change him from the inside out. It says in verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Leaves year round. Leaves don't fall off. They just stay green and healthy all the time because he's firmly planted. Its leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. He prospers. This is the person who meditates the word of God. Meditation for me, best way for me to understand meditation is to compare it to the natural. You know, when we eat food naturally, we take a bite, we chew it up, we break it down, it goes into our bellies, our stomach breaks it down some more so that the nutrients in it can become a part of who we are. To me, meditating the Word of God is a spiritual chewing and eating of the Word of God. We chew it. We take a bite of it. We chew on it for a while. We dwell on it. We meditate on it. We think about it. We talk about it with the Holy Spirit. We ask the Lord to reveal the truth of that verse or passage or whatever to us. We listen for Him. And then we just kind of dwell on it, maybe all day long. Listen, when we're meditating the Word of God, most of us, when we try to read the Bible, we want to read the Bible to get through it as quick as we can. The psalmist is reading, listen, the psalmist is meditating not to get through it, but to get something from it. See? That's the way we need to approach the Word. It's not about getting through it, it's about getting something from it. And when we meditate the Word of God, then we feed our soul and spirit on that Word so that it can become a part of who we are and becomes a part of the way we live. My time is just running out so quickly. Let me give you a quick example of something that the Lord spoke to me about years ago when I was meditating on a passage of Scripture. There's a passage over in John chapter 8. It's the story of the woman. You remember the story. The woman is caught in the act of adultery by the Jews, and they bring her to Jesus. They're really challenging Jesus is what they're doing. Is he going to stand by the law of Moses or is he going to deny it? So they bring this woman before Jesus whom they've caught in the very act of adultery. And the Bible says that when they come and they accuse this woman before Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus knelt down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. And everybody wants to know, the question everybody wants to know is, what did Jesus write? What did Jesus write? And I was meditating on that passage of Scripture one day, and I was thinking about that verse, that old story. Lord, what is this all about? And I began to remember some things. The Gospel of John is given to us specifically by John to reveal to us who Jesus is. The Gospel of John is based around seven miracles that Jesus did that prove his divinity and prove he's the Son of God. There are seven sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. The I am sayings. If you remember from the Old Testament, God identified himself as I am. Yahweh is how we, Jehovah, Lord is how we translate it into our English. He is the great I am. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus seven times will say, I am the bread of life, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life, the light of the world, all these things. He is the I am of the Old Testament. He's telling us he's God. And that's what the Gospel of John is all about. Hey, it even starts that way, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God in the flesh. And I'm thinking about all this as I'm dwelling on this passage of Scripture, and I'm thinking, God, how does this passage teach us that Jesus is God? And as I meditated on that and as I prayed about that, I noticed that phrase, he wrote with his finger on the ground. Remember what they're doing. They're coming to Jesus and they're challenging him about the commandments of God. She was caught in adultery. She should be stoned to death. What do we do with her, Jesus? They're challenging Jesus on the commandments of God. And Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground. And I remembered a passage in the book of Exodus that tells us the commandments of God were written by the finger of God. And it became just as crystal clear. Maybe it's mud to you, but it was crystal clear to me that the purpose of that story in John chapter 8, it's not about what he wrote. It's about that he wrote. That finger is the finger of God. Amen. That finger that wrote on the ground that day was the very finger that wrote those commandments on the tablets that these men are now challenging Jesus about. And Jesus is saying to those guys, here you are challenging me about what I wrote, and you don't even recognize the one who stands before you. And when you meditate on the Word of God, God can open up the Scriptures to you, and he can bring revelation to you, and he can bring truth to you, and he can encourage you in your spiritual journey and encourage you in your spiritual walk. I've got so many other things to share with you about that. Look at verse 3 here in Psalm 1. We talked about comparing meditating to chewing food. Here in verse 3, he compares meditating to spiritual refreshing, a refreshing of water, okay? The one who meditates the word will be like a tree planted by streams of water. This is a tree that, listen, he doesn't have to worry about a Virginia summertime in July when there's no water to drink. No, this tree is firmly planted. It's planted by a stream so that it always has a source of refreshing and water to drink to help it to be strong and grow healthy and to stay successful in what it's supposed to be doing. See? Those strong roots pictures a strong faith for you and I. A strong faith in the Lord that draws from the Lord the strength that we need to be successful in our endeavors of life. To be like this tree, to meditate the word, it means that we can be in a place where we are continually refreshed by the Lord. God puts a premium on his word throughout the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures. In Joshua, as he's preparing to lead Joshua, and Joshua has come. Joshua is called by God in Joshua chapter 1 to take over from Moses. How'd you like to be Joshua and have to fill those shoes? Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you're next. You're up. It's your time to lead the people of Israel. You've got to fill the shoes of Moses. And God says, Joshua, don't worry about it. Everywhere you go, I'm going to be with you. There's only one thing I want you to do, Joshua. And he'll say it a couple of different times in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. He'll say, Joshua, meditate on the law of God. Meditate on the word of God. Then you will find wisdom, and then you will have great success. What was Joshua called to do? He was called to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. He wasn't called to be rich and famous and fly all over the world. But he was called to lead the people of God into the promised land. And because he obeyed the Lord, and because he sought God through the word of the Lord and through the law of God, he became successful in his endeavor and what God had called him to do. And brother and sister, if you and I will learn to discipline ourselves where meditating the word of God is concerned. And it doesn't have to be chapters and chapters every day. It might be just one passage. It just might be one story. It just might be one verse of Scripture that strikes your heart. And you think about that verse all day long. And you just feed on that verse of Scripture. And you let God speak to your heart. If you and I would commit ourselves to practicing this discipline of meditating the Scriptures. It is a way of communing with the Lord, of drawing close to Him, of hearing His voice, of growing in our love and in our faith for Almighty God, which will ultimately cause us to be successful in life. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord and the encouragement that you give to us today through the Scriptures, Father. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of practicing these disciplines and being disciplined where our spirit man is concerned. Lord, just as we need to discipline our outer man so that he remains strong and healthy, Lord, we need to discipline our inner man. We need to discipline ourselves spiritually to be strong and healthy spiritually so that we can be the light to this world that you've called us to be as we succeed in accomplishing our goals and our purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you for stirring our hearts this morning. Thank you for challenging us in our spiritual journey here today. Would you stand with me as we close and continue in an attitude of prayer for just a moment? Would you take a moment before we leave, as we're in an attitude of prayer together, would you ask the Holy Spirit? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today? And say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to take away from this message? What is it you want me to learn? Help me, Spirit of God, open my eyes to spiritual truth and strengthen me to be one who is disciplined to run the race in such a way that I win this race of life. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes and open our hearts this morning. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you today. The Lord may be speaking to you about something that was a part of the message. He may be speaking to you about some rabbit trail He's had you on that you took off on from this message. Whatever God is speaking to your heart about, would you let God speak and would you commit to surrendering to the Lord in that area? Letting the Holy Spirit lead you where He wants you to go. Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you for the Scriptures that you have preserved for us so that we can know you and so that we can know your ways. So that we can discipline ourselves and so that we can learn how to tune in to your voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart. Let Him show you what He wants you to see. Surrender to what He says and what He wants to do. And let the Holy Spirit bring forth that new man from within you. Bless you, Lord. Father, I trust this morning that you're able to take the simple message I've shared here today. Lord, as you broke the bread through Jesus to feed the multitudes, Father, I pray that you would break this bread today and feed all of our hearts. And help us to grow up spiritually. And help us as a result of our time together here this morning to be more like Jesus in the way that we live our lives day to day. Thank you for this time, Father. Thank you for this time when we've been able to lay aside all of the other cares of life, all of the natural things that go on in the world around us, and just forget about everything else and focus solely on you. We love you, God. We love you, Father. Thank you so much for your presence with us here today. And now, Lord, I declare blessing over this church family today. I declare the blessing of your peace, blessing of your joy, the blessing of your hope, the blessing of your love and the blessing of your wisdom, the blessing of your favor and grace. May each of us be renewed in all of these things for the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning. And if we can pray with you personally about anything, we'd be glad to stay around with you after the service and do so. Just let us know how we can minister to you personally before you leave here today. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us this beautiful Sunday morning. Go out and make it a good day in the Lord.